that we did not make that connection.
I'm so sorry, Pamela.
Well, at least,
I'm gonna go weep.
At least Pam, it was confirmed. She confirmed that that she was your best friend.
There's no question.
You both agree that you both agree
that Andrea is Pamela's best friend.
That's something.
Oh, I wish I was Andrea's best friend.
Okay, great. Congratulations.
Good night, Andrea. Good night, Pamela.
Well, we haven't succeeded. That was tantalizingly
close.
But
we were made very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. That's our trademark.
Destroyed Pamela's will to live. Pamela told her best friend Andrea that she was her best friend, and Andrea said, "That's right. You are. I am your best friend."
Yeah, it's the best response ever. It's the one response I did not anticipate.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at 201-209-9368. We have yet to hear "You're My Best Friend" being reciprocated.
And we have yet to hear anybody sing the real lyrics to "Kissing Power's Ass All Night Long." It's a great guitar riff.
It's blistering.
It is. Well, the solo is blistering. The riff is chunky.
What would you say is the best guitar solo in the history of rock and roll?
Well, it depends who your favorite guitar player is.
Yeah, what a Weasley non-answer that was.
I love Duane Allman. Duane Allman's my favorite.
And what was the peak?
Blue Sky. You know, all the stuff he did on Eat a Peach.
Yeah.
Yep. How about you?
I love Duane Allman.
Yeah.
I guess he peaked with Eat a Peach, Blue Sky.
Yeah.
That era. Melissa.
Well, Melissa was an acoustic tune, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Melissa was more of an acoustic tune. Wasn't blistering.
Sweet Melissa. That was the first song I ever played on the radio, was Sweet Melissa.
Really? Back in school?
Yep, back in high school.
Was it a big decision? Did you know this is the first song I'll be playing in my career?
It was a big decision. I had no idea I was going to go into radio, but what I was going to play as my very first song still took on importance for some reason.
If you knew when your last show on the radio would be, do you know what the last song you play would be?
No.
May I recommend Sweet Melissa for a little closure?
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you got to know.
The symmetry of it is beautiful.
How do you know that it's really going to be your last show ever? I guess you.
Well, I actually know. I mean, I don't know if you want to hear it. I know when you're going to die.
When?
Oh, I know when.
When and how?
I gave the guy two choices about how. But I know the day.
How much did you pay this guy?
$400. You made me so mad last week.
I think you got taken.
You made me so mad.
Ain't nobody going to knock me off for $400.
Nick, he's saying you're not going to complete the contract.
You paid Nick
$400 to kill you tomorrow.
Good job, Nick. You just keep taking Andy's money. He lives in the same building as Keith Richards and Brian De Palma, in case you hadn't heard. So don't feel guilty. And Jessica Lange and Sam Shepard.
Every time you hit the down button, the door could open and Jessica Lange could be there.
That's exciting.
Actually, it happened. I was on the elevator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Did you say, "Oh, Miss Lang, I'm a huge
no,
fan"?
No, I don't say anything. She had a little dog with her. I talked about the dog.
Oh, what did you say to the dog? Or what did you say about the dog?
I don't remember. I said, "Oh, hey, little fella.
Hey, fella.
He smells my dog."
Nice
the stupidest
dog.
Thing you can say to. Oh, he stupid. Smells my dog.
That is stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so stupid.
That's what you met Jessica Lange in your elevator,
yeah.
And you said, "Oh, he smells my dog."
I'm an idiot. I'm the geekiest geek. What is wrong with me? Just you telling me that story makes me hate myself.
I didn't want to make you hate yourself.
That's the stupidest thing you can say to anybody. Oh, he smells my dog. It means nothing. You might as well say, I've got nothing to say to you. You might as well say those words.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, he smells my dog.
No, that's really terrible to say, I have nothing to say to you. That's like one time my next door neighbor in Hoboken.
I should have said that to Jessica Lange. I have nothing to say to you.
One time my next door neighbor said something like that to me. I ran into him several blocks away from our house. And I just stopped to make chit chat. And he just looked at me and said, I'm sorry, I'm not friendly.
I love that guy.
That was it.
I love that guy. I'm surprised you didn't offer him a radio slot right there.
No, it was I was very impressed.
That's really fantastic.
By the bluntness and the honesty.
You know what that guy was doing?
What?
Speaking truth to power.
Yeah. Well, except I was not, you know, I'm just a guy on the street. I wasn't exactly power.
Your power.
No, he wasn't speaking truth to power.
Radiate power.
I'm his next door neighbor.
Can I go home now? Play the song. Hey, this is Andrea's last show,
Andrea's last show.
Oh, it's going to
be. At least for several
months. It's going to be bittersweet.
Yeah.
And are we here next week?
I believe we are.
I got nothing going.
With another secret word.
Oh,
don't forget, get your Listener Loyalty Club card from today's playlist page. Go to WFMU.org.
So you don't repeat the secret word at the end of the show?
No.
You say it once in the middle of the show.
We said it once.
Body of the show.
Somewhere in the last 58 minutes, we announced what the secret word was. Next week, there will be a new secret word.
When you have 10 secret words on your loyalty card, send it to Ken or email it in, and you get a free show, right?
Yeah.
We'll record a free show for you.
Yep.
Hey, has anybody suggested any lyrics?
Yes, Kissing Power's Ass, and I don't mean no cheek. This need for the upper class, some say makes me reek. My lips are chapped, they call me a bloomin' raver, but of course, Andes are known for this all-night-long behavior. Kissing Power's ass all night long. Kissing Power's ass all night long. The men such as Breckman, whose merit be less than a speck, man of dust, kisses the ass of power. Yeah, yeah.
It's
pretty good, isn't it?
Is that John Keats?
Yeah.
Is that John Milton? Who wrote that?
Keats.
Yeah, that
known as Kissing Power's Ass.
Yeah, one of his lesser-known sonnets. All right, hey, thanks very much, Ken. This has been fantastic. What a great show.
Yes. Stay tuned for YOY with Andrea. Say goodbye to her. She's off for a couple of months. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. My heart is
I'm Andrea Salenzi. This is YOY on WFMU. And oh gosh, I have horrible news for everyone who loves listening to me at 7 o'clock on WFMU. This is it. This is my last show here in the studio. YOY is going to come back in some form once I figure that out. Probably shorter. Probably a product that I'll be more proud of because it won't be forced into a certain kind of time slot. It'll probably be a podcast. I don't have any specifics for you right now. I just want to tell you that it's coming back. And the way that you're going to be able to find the new form is just by visiting yoy.sexy, sign up for the newsletter, send me an email, follow me on Twitter, something like that, and I'll tell you what it's going to be when it's going to be. But right now is my last chance to thank you guys for being my home and my guiding light for my creative soul. I'm sorry I wrote that. I must have been drunk. I just love this place, and I'm so grateful. So this is my gratitude show. And with that comes one of my best friends, Holly Wood.
Hey.
Holly's here, and we have a great conversation planned. And then later in the show, Randy is going to call in, and he's going to finally answer the question, is he real? Don't snore. Is he real, guys?
And also, are any of us real?
Yeah.
Maybe we're all Randy.
I'm excited to find out and share the news. And also, my intern, Aaron Hopkins, has been working hard on YOY this whole year, and he's prepared a special sign-off story about goodbyes. So we'll hear a little from him. Holly, what's new? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm plugging away at my dissertation. I see an end. It's going to end. I'm going to have a doctorate degree. It's going to be great.
I can't imagine how much work that is. That is insane to me. But what people say about our conversations is that they love hearing what it's like to be a woman today. You know, what's it like to be a 20-30s lady? You know, television doesn't give you the real picture. We give you the honest truth. And that's our topic, is kind of, what's it like to perform female, and what about the world makes us do that?
Right. So tell me, you know what I really want to know? Tell me the story of when you realized that you had to shave your legs.
Oh, God. This is one of my, you know, like how people write movies about themselves and there's like a traumatic childhood scene. That's it. I'm standing in a group of other sixth graders and the sun like was hitting my little golden hair legs. In a perfect way where they all glistened and I looked like, you know, like a brand new baby bunny all over my legs. And all the girls looked down and they said, oh, man, you need to shave your legs. But not like for the first time, but just like implying that it had been a while since I'd last done it. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm just so lazy. I need to do that. And then, you know what? My first couple weeks of shaving, I nicked like a section of my leg. And then it became a scar, and then I nicked it the next week, and I nicked it the next week, and now I have a permanent scar from not knowing how to shave, and it's right there.
Wow, that is pretty massive, actually.
It's really big. It looks like a giant zit that's right on the front of my calf, and I've shown it to a dermatologist. He's like, there's nothing I can do about that. And I'm like, damn, why didn't someone teach me how to do this right? And it's because you have to do it if so much shame of your new sexual identity is all locked into your legs. Possibly. Am I right?
You just carry your shame around like a giant wart on your shin, so.
Can't be removed. Can only be covered with makeup.
But, yeah, it's just something that, like, I think we take it for granted that, you know, little girls are traumatized into womanhood, right? It's not like, oh, you're becoming a woman now. It's like, what do you mean you don't shave your legs? You're nine.
Like, I felt a lot of pressure to catch up and look normal. And like I remember my mom saying, you should wait as long as you can to do this, because once you start doing it, you're going to have to do it forever.
Oh, God. You know what I got when I was a kid? When I first brought this up to my mother's attention, I said, Mom, I need to start shaving my legs. Because, you know, it's an all or nothing thing. You don't realize like at all that you need to shave your legs until it becomes the most important thing on the universe. Like, it's the only thing that occupies your mind. Like, I have to shave my legs. I have to shave my legs. I have to shave my legs. And I was like, Mom, I need to shave my legs. And she's like, no, you don't. You're nine. And I was like, no, Mom, you don't understand. Everyone's shaving their legs. I'm going to be left behind. Everyone's going to make fun of me. And I'm like, my mom's like, first of all, they already make fun of you all the time. And I'm like, well, I can't be more made fun of, can I? It's almost spring. So... My mom told me, like, you can't shave your legs because once you start shaving your legs, they'll grow back really thick and gross. Right? Like, big.
Yeah, we hear that. There's the whole Seinfeld episode about that, right?
Like, if you stop shaving your legs ever, like, apparently it comes back like a man's. I don't know. It's a total myth. It's not really true. But we use that to, like, traumatize little girls to try to keep them little girls as long as possible.
Oh, that's true. So what broke her in the end?
I was manipulative and stole razors. I don't know. I don't really remember the whole scenario.
I remember sneaking in to pluck my eyebrows.
Oh, God.
Like, sneaking into my mom's, like, bathroom area to do that.
And that's another one of those things that you don't know how to do.
No.
At all. No one tells you how to do it.
You get screwed up so easy, and there's no way that you can do it without everyone knowing that you've done it.
Right, because you can't grow them back. And then if you try to draw them in, you kind of look really bad.
Ugh.
Like,
I wish I'd known what I was doing.
Because if you overpluck, which a lot of women do in their teenage years because they don't know what they're doing, it never grows back.
Never the same.
It never grows. So you basically just have, like, overplucked eyebrows for the rest of your life. And it's awful. And the 90s were terrible. Like, the 90s were, like, a really bad time to grow up because it's, like, thin eyebrows were in. Like, the Brooke Shields beautiful full eyebrows are gone. And it was, like, these tiny pencil thin, like, terrible. Yeah, and it's traumatic. It's just traumatic to feel like there's all these rules. And
although I remember, like, really wanting a woman's body and being very disappointed by the delay in acquiring it. Like, I would wear I had this, like, seashell bra that was kind of like Little Mermaid, and I'd stuff it and, like, look in the mirror, and I just, like, wanted to be a lady, but and never stopped to, like, appreciate, like, the awkward, fun, interesting transition that I was going through. I just wanted to be at the end.
You know what I think goes on there?
What?
Actually, I've never actually read much about this, except for the fact that, like, you know how when you're a kid, you're just dismissed all the time? You're like, go away. Like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, what are you, stupid kid. Like, you watch adults treat women, like, young women, differently. Like, women who go from being, like, a child, like,
yeah, like, woman. My dad patting my brother on the back and being like, look at that girl, she's cute, I bet you want to make her your girlfriend.
It's like an instant thing. It's like a binary thing. So there's a huge pressure if you're a child, so used to being dismissed. And every little girl feels invisible. Every little girl. Like, I don't think there's a single woman out there who can be like, yeah, I totally was satisfied with the amount of attention I got as a child. And so, like, when you realize that, like, one really surefire way to get attention as a child is to become womanlike.
To have boobs, yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, wow, that 12-year-old's developed.
And then girls who do develop early feel horrible shame about it also. So there's, like, no winning in that.
Well, yeah, there's no winning in being a woman ever, right? I mean, that's sort of the whole point. We're trapped in, like, you are just, if you do or you don't. Either way, it doesn't matter. You will face consequences. That's, like, what being a woman is.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So explain to me earlier what you were telling about earlier about the default setting.
Okay, so we were talking about work. Okay, so, like, one of the problems with the way that our social order is set up is that you go to work, and the default setting for competency in almost every profession is masculinity. And this is a huge factor for almost every woman who's ever worked any job ever besides maybe daycare, is that, so you have to sort of perform masculinity, but you will be called upon to perform femininity whenever the situation calls for it, right? So it's confusing. It's a really confusing dynamic about gender, is that you're always being called upon to perform difference and to perform your gender. So, you know, I get this a lot as, when I was teaching at Harvard, it's not my technically job description to listen to people cry in my office hours about stuff that has nothing to do with my courses, right? But I'm a woman, and it's sort of, like, seen as my job to be empathetic and sympathetic,
mm-hmm.
and to listen to, you know, emotional woes. And I'm cool with doing that. I totally am. But it's not rewarded at all by what it means to be a grad student. Like, the system does not give me, you know, kudos or extra pay or extra time or money or anything at all whatsoever to do that. So it becomes basically unpaid labor. So, like, in a lot of jobs, women are asked to perform unpaid labor in the workplace, by function of just being the woman.
And that labor is sometimes a term I heard was like your office housework. Like there can sometimes be like the woman who picks up all the cups that are left behind, and she's or is more likely to water the plants. Also is more likely to, you know, hear about your, I don't know, your doctor's appointment recently. Just like be that like.
Well, you know, yeah. A lot of startups out in Silicon Valley, they don't even have HR because it's like their way of saving money. It's like, oh, we don't need to hire HR. That would just be who do you think ends up doing the HR?
Mm-hmm.
Like by default, it's always women. And
of course.
So it's, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic that goes on in every workplace scenario that we're talking about. And how did we even get on this topic? I'm really good at this.
Performing being a lady, what it means. You were kind of explaining how sociologically, like the definition of competency is also being a woman, but also just like the default form that you were meant to be born into is male.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, so basically every facet of our society, the social order is gendered, right? We live in a society that wants us to differentiate ourselves according to our sex category all the time. It's why we have gendered bathrooms. It's why we believe that little boys should behave differently than little girls. And like our entire education as children is largely in gender. So like that's why I brought up the shaving the legs thing. It's like, how do you come to know that you have to perform gender? Like, how do you come to even know that you have to do certain things? And so in the workplace, this is more recent for us, right? Like, you don't even know because college doesn't prepare you for that.
No way.
There's no way that college is going to prepare. Like, there's no way there's a professor at Wesleyan who is like saying, okay, ladies, by the way, when you get your job, you're going to be doing all this crap work that the men don't want to do because of your gender. Like, no one prepared us for that.
No, but it came naturally.
Yeah, by then you're socialized to do it. Like, oh, this work needs to be done and no one will do it. I guess it's my job to do it. Oh, well.
Yeah, a piece of career advice I got was to work for a guy, make him organized in a way that he didn't realize he was disorganized before and become invaluable to the way the work works there. And I do take that advice over and over and over again. But then eventually I start to resent certain tasks I've taken upon myself. And then I think that resentment becomes tangible in the workplace. So that advice does not work for me.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because that you're literally relating yourself as a subordinate. Like literally, there's no room for advancement.
That's a really comfortable place for me as subordinate.
Go
in,
on.
In every way, guys.
Yeah, it's a really comfortable place for women because that's how we're socialized to interact with men. We're supposed to be seeing ourselves as less than men. Always.
Let's talk about the word like. So I recently was talking with a colleague and he said, could you say that? I'm going to tell you what I tell my kids. Could you tell me that story again without the like?
Did he really say, I'm going to tell me that story, like how I tell my kids?
Yeah, he said, I'm going to tell you. I was in the middle of like, you know, like talking to like the way I talk.
Like we talk. Like how 20 something women like talk like today. Like, you know, like we do because like it doesn't matter.
But I was probably saying something smart and it probably related. It was probably very interesting.
It probably was smart.
Yeah. And he said, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to tell you what I tell my kids. Could you say that again without the like? And my blood boiled and I instantly found the woman in the office who I'm comfortable talking with about those things. And she's like, you realize why? She's like, I can't help it, guys. We adapt words like to make ourselves smaller. And so I'm not giving us strong opinions. I'm not saying I think this podcast isn't good. I don't like this host. Instead, I'm saying like maybe the podcast could be better. And like I think they should have found a different host. And I'm finding ways to make the way I speak smaller and less strong. And I want to train myself out of it. And I understand why he wanted to help me train myself out of it, too. At the same time, that was a horrible thing to hear in the middle of my day.
Well, yeah, because he likened you to children.
Yeah.
I mean, effectively.
Male children.
He just likened you to children. He infantilized you right off the bat. Like, let me infantilize you. Here's my advice. Be more like my children.
And my response, I don't know if this is good, was, if it helps you listen to me, I'll take the likes out if it helps you listen to me. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's the default setting for being a woman is like, oh, a man is giving me attention, I guess I better subordinate myself.
There's a lot
vocal
to learn.
Fry. Could you just take all the vocal fries out? No.
I just can't.
I just can't even.
Here's my thought on vocal fry, which we haven't really gotten to in the show yet. But you know those like 1950s women who are like, coming up on the what's my 1950s woman voice? But like they just used to speak differently. Like, don't you know, soldier? If you stay tuned for the next program, I'll tell you more about my day. I don't know. Whatever she talks like, it's like we've always had different ways of talking, and right now it just happens to be a little vocal fry.
It goes back to what we were saying before. Women are socialized to differentiate ourselves from men. That was not a male voice you just did, 1950s, right? Like, that's not how men were talking.
Yeah, the man was like George Orwell or something.
Yeah, all
Orson
Welles. They all sounded like George Orwell. but no, yeah, and there's always been this like our vocal patterns are always going to differentiate from men because we're told we have to be different from men, like constantly. This is why this is a woman oriented show, and it's like, you know, I use like all the time. I'm probably one of the most hyper. We know that I'm one of the most hyper articulate people we know.
Yes,
according
Agreed.
To.
Read the podcast reviews, guys.
Read the podcast reviews. I am the hyper-articulate Marxist feminist. I use the word like all the time. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy told me, like, you need to take the legs out of your tongue, like, I would just
What would you say?
Just give him the finger. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, who's more legitimate?
It's my workplace, though.
I realize that. I totally get that that's your workplace, but, like, that's sort of the reason why I'm never going to be employable.
Yeah.
It's because I really can't.
But that's the debate is do you perform, do you act like a lady because it makes it and then secretly, you know, try to rule the world, or do you lean in?
Never.
Do you lean in?
Lean back. Lean back and man spread. Like, I'll just take over everything. Yeah, I totally get it because it's hard. I can't tell you the number of times that I have been rejected or like told, put in my place basically because I would not toe the line of femininity, right? Like so many microaggressions have been in my life because I will not toe the line of femininity. Like I will not paint my nails, won't ever do it. I don't even have nails. Like I don't know. And you know how many times I've been yelled at in my life because I haven't painted my nails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how stupid is that?
So dumb. I recently experimented with getting a pedicure, which I'd never done before, but it just felt like...
That New York Times article really made you want to run out and do it?
It just got me thinking about it. I was like going on a family vacation, and all my colleagues do it, all my friends do it. I always see pretty toenails and sandals, and I had a pretty pair of sandals, and I was like, and I tried to do it myself, and it came out looking really bad. So I decided I was going to go to a midnight pedicure, because that's the only time I apparently have to go to stores now. So I snuck out of my grandma's apartment at midnight and went down the street, and I did it. And it was horrible. It was so boring. All the company there, all these women sitting alone, staring into space, letting other people care for their feet. It was just a weird zone. And a guy walked in about halfway through, and he announced to the whole room, I'm only coming in here because my wife won't let me in the house without doing this. Like, he just had to let us know that he was doing a female thing because his wife was making him. He wouldn't just opt into participating in this female ritual on his own. That's a weird, weird time. I don't think I want to do it again. I'll care for my own feet, guys.
I'll just let my feet get gnarly. I don't care. I like that the guy came in and like made that differentiation. Like he announced that. Like
to the whole, as loudly as he could to the whole room.
To belittle everyone there.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, as a man, I would not be doing this. I would not, like, lower myself to do what you women do. Right? Like, that's like, what men do all the time. That's just all the time I get that. Like, no homo. No homo. No homo. Like, what? Doing what
it's
women?
It's not a purse.
Right. I was talking about this the other day. One of my friends asked me, like, why I'm not, like, enthusiastic about relationships right now. I'm like, because men don't do the work that women have to do in a relationship because they think it's either gay or, like, effeminate to be emotional and to actually ask me about how I feel and, like, actually care. right? Like, yeah. And most of my relationships, I've had that realization that what I want from my partner is for him to do not necessarily what is, like, feminine work, but what is gendered as feminine work, which is being emotionally skilled, right? Like, it's a human skill, but it became gendered, and it became tasked with women to do it, and then men disassociated themselves from it. And so that's why we have a generation of men who are absolutely emotionally stunted. Like, it's great. Like, dating in the wild is, like, maybe 8 out of 10 guys are just emotionally, like, stunted.
Yeah.
Like, do not want to engage in any kind of...
Because no one trained them that that was a valuable skill the way we were trained that this was a valuable skill.
Right. Like you said, you were taught to anticipate your boss's needs and organize them and, like, think about his emotional state of being and to, like, work around them. And, like, you were told that you were given that advice. No man is given that advice about his girlfriend. Like, hey, your girlfriend might have ADD. She might be a little bit scatterbrained. Like, maybe not yell at her when she, like, forgets, like, like something you texted her 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not, like, she has ADD. Right? Like, it's not even a huge deal. It's just, like, you were socialized to be one way, and most of the men I encounter were socialized to be this other way.
If anyone wants to join in the last couple minutes of our chat, we're at 201-209-9368. We'd love to hear your thoughts on being female in the world. I guess that's our topic. Or you came up with a great term for what we're describing, which is...
Estrogenial law. It's like, what are the laws? So there's proscriptions and there's prescriptions for being a woman, right? A proscription are things you can't do, and prescriptions are things you have to do, right? So there's both, and there's a tightrope, and you got to walk that tightrope. And so, like, a lot of things we were just talking about, like shaving your legs, you have to shave your legs. You have to shave your armpits. You have to pluck your eyebrows. You have to cut your hair. If you start getting gray hairs, you have to dye your hair.
Oh, my God.
Like, you got to use body lotion. You have to smell a certain way. You can't use men's deodorant.
We do have to know all about lotion and moisturizing. Oh, and also just, I was thinking recently about the default setting of makeup. Like, no one told me that makeup had to be a constant in my life when I was a kid. And I'm just slowly realizing that most women wear makeup every day.
Every day. You don't.
I don't. I kind of put it on when I feel like it.
So Andrea has, like, beautiful skin.
Thank you. I can tell
that she doesn't need to wear makeup every day.
But I probably should put something on my eyes. Like, if every woman's eyes have eyeliner.
We're just talking about how you should, like, I need to probably do
No,
this.
I just want to fit in the, you know, world today or something.
Did you see that Amy Schumer sketch?
Oh, which one?
Where she had, like, a boy band come into it, like, you don't need to wear any makeup. And then, like, she takes her makeup off and they're like, oh, put it back on.
I could watch her every day forever. Okay.
Right? Like,
hold on, we have Jeff on line one from Nutley. Welcome to the show.
Well, Jeff, what's it like being a woman?
I don't know. I unfortunately can offer nothing on that. But just wanted to say that I've been listening and enjoying the show. And that I wanted to offer, if I could, one thing of things that he said that I agree with and one thing that I disagreed with. The thing that I agree with is that I think you're right when you say that, unfortunately, a lot of guys don't, as you put it, do the emotional work of being in a relationship, and that they see that as a feminine task, and I think that that's definitely a problem, because I think, you know, human beings in general should be sensitive to each other's emotional needs and all that, and that should be an equal thing in a relationship. So there's that. But the thing that I disagreed with was when you said that, and, well, think this over real, but when you said that your boss told you to say the same thing again without the likes, I don't think that he was doing that, and this is just my interpretation, I don't think that that was a way of subordinating you or infantilizing you. If anything, it was a way of him trying to say, hey, I want you to talk more like how I think adults should talk, even if, regardless of gender.
How is that not infantilizing, Jeff? Like that.
But it's like, it's on someone outside of a workplace to tell me that.
It's on my friends
and parents to help me become an adult, not on my colleagues who should respect me as an adult no matter how I decide I want to talk.
Okay.
And that's just how I feel. But.
I could understand why. I can understand being annoyed. I can definitely see your point of view.
Like, what if he had told me how to dress or that I need to wear makeup? How is my speech different than any other kind of performance of adulthood? Which Hollywood told me was a social construct.
Which it is.
Well, I don't know. If you are working for someone, and I think it's within reason.
He's a colleague, not a boss. That's another important...
Wait, say that again?
He's a colleague, not a boss. I think I should specify that. Yeah. So it wasn't performance feedback in terms of, you'll do more sales this way. It was, I would prefer you to behave this way.
Yeah, I could see that being annoying. I guess I misheard the story. I thought it was your boss telling you that.
Yeah, no, that's
someone,
okay.
Someone who's just, you know, on the same level as you, giving you advice in general is kind of annoying.
Yeah. Although I do need as much help becoming an adult as possible. If anyone who's a friend of mine has advice, I'd love some. Oh.
I don't know. I think it's a construct. I'm totally about regression right now.
You're about what?
I'm totally about regressing. Like, totally regressing. Like, I'm going back.
Acting like a child?
Basically. Like, maybe 22, 21. I don't know. How does one... I don't even know. I feel like I was brought into this earth, the 30-year-old, and it's slowly been like... going backwards. Like a U effect.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call, Jeff. And I'm so glad you've been enjoying the show. Please find it in its new form in the future someday.
Please.
Please what?
There'll be a new form of the show in the future, and I hope you find it. Goodbye.
Oh. Okay, I hope I find it too.
Again, this is my last show on WFMU Airwaves, which is crazy. And I'd love that you've come out for a bunch of these live shows, Holly.
You're welcome.
Such a delight.
I am. I'm such a negative delight.
negative delight. Well, in a bit, we're going to... I hear that Randy's on the line, so we're going to keep holding until... maybe we'll take one more call on the topic before we hear from Randy. I think he said he'd be at a bar while he's calling, so we'll see how that goes.
Why would he not be at a bar?
Yeah, I hope we can hear him. He picks some really horrible bars.
I really hope Callie calls.
Yeah. But if not, everyone should listen to her podcast, Not All Women. Oh, there we go. She's here. Callie, welcome.
Hey, guys.
So.
Callie.
Yeah.
So this show's about being a woman, and I would actually make the argument that you know more about being a woman than I do.
In a sense, maybe.
In like, a sense, yeah. And I was wondering if you just, like, give us a sense, like, what it meant for you to, like, what is being, like, when I say performing gender, what does that mean?
Well, that could be two things to me from my perspective. Like, it's either upholding the things that you've been taught you have to do, or it's the other thing, which is ascribed to someone like me, where it's just pretending to exist. So it's either upholding a horrible system in a way that's sort of harmful or doing it in a way that's completely harmful.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking about you all day about like...
Oh, important context for listeners who are just tuning in. Callie is a regular caller on this show, and you've transitioned to female in the past couple years or so?
Transitioned to living as female, yeah.
To living as female.
Yeah, it's a small difference in words, but
no, it's important. Thank you, and that's why we're giving you this crazy credit and expertise.
Oh, it's just like fascinating to me because it's just I mean, I take it for granted, obviously, because I was, you know, I'm side-gendered, and I just take it for granted that I don't have an option. I identify with the gender I was born with, and like I'm just always thinking about what it would be like to not be that, to not be side-gendered. So like, I was wondering if you could, like, throw in a comment here.
Well, basically, you spend your entire childhood just kind of envying what everyone else sees as natural. Like, you don't think that things are in reach, even though they're clearly in reach for everybody else. It's the mix of jealousy and trying to be performative in your own slight ways to try and act that out, but also trying to hide that as much as you can. It's a weird mix.
Maybe you could give us an example of something. Like, we were talking about, like, shaving our legs. Just a brief one. Like,
that's something that I would experiment with in small ways. Like, trying to find places that I could shave without people noticing. I mean, when I was, like, dressing as a boy, I could do, like, thighs without anyone ever noticing.
So you shaved your thighs?
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh. I just think that's funny because that's, like, the opposite of what, like, when I was a kid, we were told to shave. Like, you can shave your calves, but not your thighs.
Yeah. But it's a weird thing where you try and find ways where you can express it to yourself without getting in trouble for it.
Hmm.
You're always playing this game of how can I not get in trouble? And I don't know. And the weird thing is that, like, we still grow up with the same sort of expectations for ourselves that cis women have, even though we can't achieve it when we're young. Like, we still have the same dreams and stuff. And we still think that we're supposed to act this way and dress this way, whether we're femme or butch or whatever. But
right.
I don't know. It's a really weird thing.
Yeah, no, I totally appreciate it. I totally appreciate the complexity of it. I just, like, wanted to get your voice on it because it's, like, something I think about all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was something that wasn't on my radar when I was, like, 12. But, like, it's totally on my mind now that I'm approaching 30. Like, what is it like to, like, feel like you have to do this but feel like you can't?
Yeah.
That totally sucks.
Yeah, we're mostly depressed. I don't know how many of us are not depressed, but I know that I was.
Well, in that we share depression. Like,
yes. Yeah, suicide rates amongst trans individuals is terrifying.
Yeah, it's 49% attempt suicide, and that's only stuff that we really know about because a lot of people attempt it and still try to hide their identity. That's another thing about being trans is that our statistics are all off because we're afraid of people punishing us, even in those instances.
Well, we love you so much, Callie, and I'm so grateful that you called in tonight. Everyone should subscribe to the Not All Women podcast. Yeah, we got to move along, but thank you so much.
And on that,
thank you so much, you guys. I love you guys.
We love you too, Callie.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, now a word from our intern. My intern, Aaron Hopkins, has been my obscenity screener for a while. I needed it, and he arrived and started listening to my shows sometimes in the middle of the night to make sure they were right. Here is his little sign-off audio piece with a couple wonderful songs. Here we go.
The war has begun. Nations are bombing nations. Soon the world...
That is not the pot I meant to hit. Sorry, guys. Here we go. This is from our intern, Aaron Hopkins.
So, Andrea, it has come to this. You are leaving the fine airwaves of WFMU and are heading to the internet waves. It has been a fun run on the radio, and I hope I can find a place on the new format somehow. I have been asked by Andrea to come up with a few songs about parting and moving on. The first thing that came to mind was this one by the Weavers. I hope you don't mind old folk music on your show, but hey, better than what Randy could do. On second thought, maybe not. Sorry, folks, for the lapse in judgment, but let's see. What else can we play here? Hey, I know, Sinatra, this is for you, Andrea, and Glenn Jones.
Thanks for the memory of things I can't forget. journeys on our jet, our wondrous week in Martinique and Vegas and roulette. How lucky I was. And thanks for the memory.
Indeed, Andrea. Thanks for all the memories you packed into an hour each week. It's not easy putting these things together. I well know that you sometimes stayed up until 2 a.m., the night before putting episodes together. That shows how much you really cared about YOY. I just hope you continue to produce shows on a timely basis. I will help if you need me to. But that's enough sap from this chap. Let's go out with this beautiful song from the Rolling Stones. Godspeed, my radio friend.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for that wonderful sign-off. You have been the best intern ever, and I'm excited to keep working with you. You are my best friend, which is why we should have called into Ken and Andy. I don't know what we were thinking. All right. On line one, it's my good friend Randy. Where'd you come from? Are you there?
Hello?
Randy?
Hello?
Randy, you're on WFMU.
Andrew, when is your show going to be on the air?
Right now. This is the last time it'll be live on air on WFMU airwaves.
I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, you kept asking people for money throughout your run on this radio station. Are you not going to a more public, more pop station?
I don't know where I'm going. I'm not going to a station, though. I want to be a podcast. I don't want to do this, like, hour-long, weekly, on a schedule thing. I want to freeform, you know? Whatever length I want to be.
I don't think I've ever listened to a podcast.
I'll show you how.
Have you seen this? Andrea, have you seen the crazy cover of Vanity Fair magazine?
Yes, it's so inspiring. I love it.
Can I tell you something? I think that dude is slamming.
A woman?
But you gotta wonder, is his pink truly mink?
I don't wonder that. It's not my business.
No, but I mean, like, is his girl soft real?
Ugh.
Does he still have a flip to Judah?
I really don't want to talk about the Vanity Fair cover with you.
I made up a joke today. Can I tell you it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bruce Jenner, he used to be on the cover of Wheaties.
No. Okay.
So, like, now it's more accurate that he's the cover of Fruit Loops.
Stop it. Oh, this is why you're off my show for good. You're gone. Why? Well, I don't
anyway,
get the joke.
I'm outside Club Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay.
This place is nicknamed Jamaica, USA. And I really want to bring you here. I think I think you would like it a lot. Would you ever consider coming down and being with me down here?
No, never. I have zero interest in Ocean City.
Well, they got little round tables that are in the water.
Okay.
And they have a raw bar, they got a beach stage, they got a tiki stage, they got a nightclub, got drinks. My favorite drink is Pain in the Ass. And that's the, you got rum and pina colada.
Mm.
So would you come down with me perhaps sometime?
I do like tables when they're in the water, but I really can't see that for me right now. I like limited vacation days, you know? I know you're kind of fun employed right now, but I'm not.
Well, that'd be great. I think you'd have a good time down here.
I didn't say yes, but I'm glad to hear you're having fun.
Well, right now I'm cutting my toenails. I had an infection in my big toe on my right foot, but I'd rather not talk about it. But right now I'm trying to get the pus out of the big toe on my right foot.
Ew, no. You should go get a pedicure. They're very helpful with that, I guess. But tip three times whatever they charge you.
You know I hate lifeguards, right?
One saved your life, though.
Hello?
Didn't a lifeguard save your life at one point?
Well, so I hate lifeguards, librarians, and weathermen. So I was at this beach party. I'm down in Ocean City, Maryland, and I was at this beach party. And this macho, this is about 2 weeks ago, this
you
Macho
sound
Murphy.
So drunk right now, I just have to say.
So this Macho Murphy starts talking jive about saving a life. You know, this one of these lifeguards guys. And he saved like a kid. That's what he was claiming. So I said, you know what? You guys have gotten away with too much for too long. And I said, the only things I've seen lifeguards save is their hair from getting wet. And I said, you guys are a bunch of queens. So at that point, he, first of all, they're taught karate, lifeguards.
No, they're not.
To take down people in case
Stop
they're
lying.
Drunk or upset.
That's not true.
So this guy ran straight into me, straight into my chest, threw me down on the ground. And then he stabbed my toe with a swizzle stick.
So that's how it got infected?
Plastic swizzle stick. But then, you know, because he's a lifeguard, he got real scared, and he insisted on saving my toe. So he said, don't pull it out, don't pull it out. And then because he's hardwired to want to save people, he then drove me to the emergency room in his Jeep. And then this guy insisted on paying, but I'm going to sue him anyway.
You're going to sue him? You saved your toe.
Andrea, first of all, I've been calling the last couple weeks. I've been asking for various things, and I heard you told me through an email that you're leaving this radio station, the public radio station, and I asked you where you're going, and you said you have no idea.
Yeah.
But now you're saying you're to a podcast. So what I was telling you through the email is that you owe me money because I was
no.
a part of the show for the last year and a half. And how I tabulated, you owe me about $12,000.
I've been pretty clear that I haven't been paid to do this show. You're never going to be paid to do this show. Holly isn't paid to do this show. Aaron isn't
right,
paid to do this show.
Remember what I said about that? Like, that was your problem, not my problem. So the fact of the matter is that I am owed money, and you owe me money. So I'd appreciate it if you could send money to me as soon as possible. And unless you send me money, I'm not going to be involved with this podcast.
Okay, good, because it's, you know, it's wrapping up to last one. How could I possibly?
Well, the sad thing is you
need to hold
me.
You.
And
I don't. This is.
Well, yeah, I think you do. And the fact that you were getting such great ratings, and that the NPR was giving you such good accolades and stuff.
You're right. Within the time I've been doing YOY and WFMU, I've been on Playboy.com. I've been on BuzzFeed.
Right, exactly.
I've been on the AV Club.
Like you, where does that come from? You weren't operating in the vacuum. You were operating with Randy, and Randy was basically the one who pulled in all the viewers. So,
No, you're one of the many, you know, kind of cast members who evolved on this show. One of the many wonderful storytellers and friends who come on. And you're a sliver of what we do, but an important part of it. But no one's been paid. I just wanted to give you a platform to share your backwards, offensive.
Like a maturity case. Yeah. Don't start acting like that because, quite frankly, I came on this show and your show was pathetic and no one wanted to give money to it. And then I came on the show. Remember that first time we met in the bar in Park Slope?
I do. And I thought you were with a group of friends, but it turned out they were just people sitting near you.
Right, but that's fine. And the fact that you called me after and I told you the truth about dating in New York and what's going on, like, I think you owe me more than you think you do. So
I think that this has been a friendship and we've talked like friends and I've given you a platform to share your views, but that's about it.
You using people to become popular and then you leaving and then you take a barrel of money and I got nothing.
There'll be a place for you in whatever I decide to do next. Once I figure that out.
Can I ask you, how much money are you leaving this NPR station with?
This is not an NPR station, and the answer is zero. $0.
I don't believe you, and that's the problem. And I was talking to a few people who are good with numbers, and they said that you had to have earned at least $60,000 to $70,000. So I think at least
if
20% of that would be $12,000 to $15,000, which you owe me.
Maybe if I was making money here, I would maybe be staying or something, but it's a non-commercial station and I just can't do my this is my passion and my hobby and a dream, and it's
hey, passion
been
don't
so
pay
fun.
The bills, baby. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, I'm down here in Ocean City, Maryland, and I got a root for money. You know what I mean? Like,
I
was telling you about the Frog Cave before. I'm not in the Frog Cave before.
Yeah. Well, maybe anymore. Whatever I do next.
Because,
yeah. You're not. What happened to the Frog Cave? Frog Cave was Randy's podcast, everyone.
Well, I got to be honest. The spring has not been entirely bump free. There's been some rocky periods.
Oh,
and
yeah?
The problem is that there's been a new generation of people in the Frog Cave in the early 20s to mid-20s, and I don't think they quite understand where I'm coming from, where my generation is coming from. And they were accusing me of stealing some rash cash, which is what we called money, used for suntan lotion and condoms and other things. So they were accusing me of that. Of stealing that, and they kicked me out because of that.
Oh.
So now I'm living alone in a long-term motel off 25th Street.
Yeah,
which
you
is
probably
fine.
Don't want to share exactly where you're located right now for anyone who
I'm
might
at 25th
be listening.
Street in Ocean Coastal Highway. It's right near the Jolly Roger Amusement Park.
Oh, no, really? Nobody go find Randy, okay? Just don't do it. He's harmless. He's offensive. He's a horrible human, but he's harmless.
Wait a second. What kind of... See, this is the thing we're talking about? Are we on the air right now?
Yes.
Okay, so why would you say I'm a horrible human being?
Because of what you just said about... sorry, I'm forgetting her name.
No, I said they accused me of stealing rash cash. I didn't say I stole the rash cash. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did steal the rash cash.
I'm still upset about what you said about Caitlyn Jenner.
Stealing the rash cash... Because,
yeah,
because they didn't know who else would do it, but it's a generational thing. They don't understand where I'm coming from. Okay, because what I was
it
doing
sounds
was
like
I
you
put
stole
a
money,
paper
and
there,
I
so
and I believe that you would steal money. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway,
didn't you say you had a new job by now?
I do have a job actually. I'm working in the entertainment business.
Like what kind of what?
Actually,
what
the restaurant entertainment. The restaurant entertainment business.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese?
No. Actually, the advertising restaurant entertainment business. So there's an upscale restaurant in Ocean City called Belly Busters, and it's upscale food. Although you wouldn't...
upscale like a Bubba Gump's, or...?
Yeah, it is. Although, you know what? They've got a lot of bad Yelp reviews about lack of freshness with seafood and all that. But anyway, I'm part of their marketing plan. And
also,
I'm bringing in more money to this place.
Oh,
really
no. Are you in a costume?
Than they've ever witnessed in the past. And so thanks to me, basically, they have another summer to go at the very least.
So you're, like, placing ads in the weekly or what?
No, I'm dressed as a lobster. And I stand on Ocean Parkway and wave a sign.
Huh.
It's just open. But you know what it is? I mean, it's basically total improv, which is what Randy's really into. I'm basically allowed free reign.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. It's very exciting. What I'm living by my wits. I'm the writer, I'm the director, I'm the producer.
And you have
so like, in other words, like, yeah. I'll come out dressed as a lobster and I'll play Rock Lobster. I'll do things that are really fun. Or I'll lift up my leg to urinate like a crab would. And what I do is there's an arrow.
That's so confusing because lobsters just have a tail and they don't really, they have like lots of little legs, but.
Well, that's just it. Not everyone appreciates it. There's one woman accused me of trying to lift up her skirt with one of my lobster claws, which is absurd. Because they aren't real lobster claws. Obviously, they're foam, right? So I can't bend them and grasp onto sea creatures or ocean pebbles. Beyond that, this woman was really ugly. She looked like Mickey Rourke. But the cool thing is that the manager at Belly Busters, he basically said, you know what, I don't care. So he said I was bringing the place a lot of attention, cool attention. There was a local weekly, free weekly in Ocean City that wrote about this. And the guy really digs my ideas. He says I'm a creative genius. He says I'm an advertising genius. So I was thinking of things about Belly Busters they had never thought of before. You know, like a lifeguard, when he rescues someone, they use like an orange floaty cushion.
Yeah.
So I said to the guy, how about like putting something on it like Belly Busters, hungry for clams?
Like on a one of those life preservers?
Yeah, exactly, and he did. Or you know those fridge magnets that the old people use to hang up reminders, like today is Tuesday and you have to take your brain medicine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the manager, like, how about something like more fun? Like it's time to crack open a cool one at Billy Buster's, half off for people over 75.
I hope they're paying you for all this and not just to stand in the lobster
costume. Well, they're paying me all right, believe me.
That's great.
But anyway, this manager and I like to get high and play on the pool table that he had found behind the CVS.
Sounds like you're having like a summer to remember. You know, like the kind of summer that most people have when they're 18.
That's the thing I was telling you about. Like I was emailing you, asking me what I was doing, and you're basically saying, what exactly are you doing? And I kept saying, like, everything is going fine.
Yeah.
And there was a feeling on my part that you felt that everything wasn't going fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you miss, like, having an apartment in New York City and working a full-time job.
You know what?
Quiznos.
I don't, though. I absolutely don't. Because I'm doing what I need to do, how I need to do it. I'm getting full. They're letting me do whatever I need to do. Andrea, can I ask you a personal question?
Okay, yeah.
How long is your pubic hair? There's a reason that I'm asking.
What's the reason? What could the reason possibly
be?
Well,
I can't really tell you. And I'm thinking about writing a book. But beyond that, can you tell me how long it is? How many inches?
I don't know. I'm like, I just got back from family vacation, so I'm nice and trimmed. But I can't not.
No, but like, how long?
Why am I telling you this?
If you didn't trim it, how long would it be?
Normal length. Like, whatever another woman's length would be.
But I'm asking specifically how long, because there's a chart that I've come up with that.
For what?
At least other things.
What? No, this is over. I'm not telling you this. You told me you're working on a children's book?
I am actually working on it. Let me ask you this question. All right, okay. Maybe you'll answer this one. Have you ever fantasized about having, like, an alien pet, like an E.T. that comes down that you have as a pet, like a dog or a cat or something?
No. Like Alf?
You never imagined that, really.
Maybe when I watched Alf, but that's about it.
Everyone I know has imagined and dreamt about, like, having their own alien pet.
No, that sounds terrifying. Well, I like normal pet. My normal pet is terrifying.
I think about this all the time. Like, if I had my own alien pet, I would have the dude, like, making my bed and cooking my frozen waffles in the toaster oven.
But what if it outlives you? What if it eats
what?
You? What if it poisons you? What if it has sex with you and makes you an alien?
Why would you assume that an alien would do that? I think you're being really negative. Now, what I'm saying is if, like, a dude alien came down, what I would make him do... Like, well, how would he know otherwise? Because, like, you're on Earth now, and you're in my world. So how would he know that he wasn't supposed to get up at 7 a.m. and make me a frozen waffle in my toaster oven? Like, he wouldn't know.
Oh, my
gosh. Of course he would know.
You're such a weirdo.
Okay, and then beyond that, he would fix things with his finger. Have you seen E.T.? What E.T. did with his finger?
It glows or something, and then the little boy touches it, and...
Well, I don't know,
people.
But he had a finger that lit up, and he could do things with it. But beyond that, I'm not even talking about a dude alien. I'm talking about a girl alien.
Ew, no. Don't tell me what you do to her.
And she would give me...
No.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. She would give me a morning yank.
No.
And I would say to her like something like, wake me up at the quarter to spank. And then the alien's name would be something like Maggie. M-A-G-G-I. So that's a girl alien. But, you know, girls and boys aliens would do different things for me. Anyway, what I'm saying is this is just pretend. But beyond that, I just sold a children's book about Maggie, a girl alien.
You have to leave the spank clock thing out if you're going to make it a kid's book.
Yeah. So I got in touch with this literary agent, book agent,
yeah.
Who had listened to me on your show.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, do you have any ideas? And I said, I do have an idea. A girl alien named Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in touch with me, and I just have to write the book, and he has to sell it. But I think it's pretty much a done deal.
Wow, I'm so excited. This is leading to big deal opportunities for you. But, hey, we only have, like, 4 minutes left of my last WFMU show, and I have to ask you... you know, listeners have asked me since they first heard you on the show. They want to know, is this guy for real? Where did you find him? Randy, are you real?
You really want to go to this?
Yeah, we have to, like, give this some kind of, you know, conclusion here. Should we tell them?
Well, Andrea, do you want to do this?
Yeah, Steve, I do. I'm ready.
All right. Well, my name is Stevie Marks, and I am 27 years old. I'm a comedian, improv performer, and I have been performing Randy for the past year.
And how talented is he? I found this guy. He was, you know, new to the city, working at the UCB or whatever. And
because, first of all, yeah. I didn't want to go to this direction. I didn't think you would even bring this up.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to give you credit where credit's due.
Okay. Stevie Marks. And I have been performing for the last year about Randy. Most people knew what this was about.
Yeah. No, I know. It was really confusing. Like, no one could tell it was a bit.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, no one could really tell if it was a bit or not, and I think that that was incredibly confusing for people.
Well, I don't know. To me, it was obvious from the get-go that this was just improv, and this was comedy. I didn't think it would be this confusing for people, quite frankly. But the fact that this is now your last show, I can see why you would want to reveal it. So
yeah, and what's so funny is, like, you're so different than Randy.
I thank you for letting me do this. It's been amazing. I hope I didn't hurt anyone.
I mean, it's feeling. You're so inspired. Like, I can't. It's been such a joy to work with you. And you know what? What's amazing is you're so different than Randy. Like,
well,
it's
you're,
hard. It would
you're
be hard
incredible.
For people.
I love you. You're positive. Yeah. Everything you talk about, I love about the show. I am.
But every
so
time we talk,
Randy.
It was like the ideas just kept coming, and you were just so full of inspiration. It's really been a joy.
Well, it's fun to pretend someone. You know, to pretend you're someone you're not, and. I love you. I love feminism. I love the whole thing about the show. I love what you're talking about. And to play a guy who was a little bit obnoxious was great. And I, you know, thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we would ever reveal what was going on, but I do thank you for it. I live in New York City. I don't live in Ocean City, Maryland. And just God bless. I think you're amazing.
Thank you, Stevie. You are so talented. And if anyone wants to hire Stevie for your next, you know, corporate gig or something, he is totally available.
Oh, Andrea, I love you so much. Honestly, because, like, I'm
can we get
out,
can
I'm
we hang out later?
I could use a job, but you're so awesome. I
yeah.
love you, and I can't
I'm taking you out later. We're gonna get mani-pedis, and I can't thank you enough.
I think you're beautiful inside and out. I truly love you, so thank you so much for the opportunity.
Okay, well, let's catch up soon, Stevie, and I'm excited to involve you in whatever YOY does next. And thank you, Hollywood. You've been such a delight to have here on the show, and I'm excited to involve you in the next form of the show also.
In my negative delight.
You guys are thank I just thank you and thank Randy and Steve Marks.
I'm actually Randy. I've been Randy this whole time.
And Aaron, and just thank you, WFMU, for being a whole home for my creativity. I love this place so much. And okay, great. I love this place so much. It's taught me everything. And also, you guys should all enjoy Sue. Sue is a longtime music goddess, and she's coming in with a talk show in the slot. We are going to love this new show. Okay, stay tuned for Infinite Distortion with Bosch. And thank you, Nick the Bard, for being my wonderful call screener.
I think that it is a noble position to stand up in today's violent society and take an action that prevents an act of violence.
Responsible by spreading this message of firebombing buildings where there may be people.
Let's look at the evidence. At the end of the day, we do not have a body count. They do. The corporations that we oppose make a living out of having body counts.
People lose their faith because heaven shows them too little. But how many people lose their faith because heaven shows them too much? Yeah!